Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, February 3rd, 2013.
The Apostle Paul tells us that we are to speak to one another, encourage one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And any song that is truly spiritual is going to have as its underlying fundamental theme the amazing grace of God. Because everything that we have to sing about, everything that we have, everything that we are in Christ Jesus is because of God's amazing grace. And that theme, that revelation of the saved by grace through faith, that truly is the sweetest song I know.
I love to sing, He paid the price and Jesus for it all. I love to sing, I'm coming home and hear the Master's call. I love to sing the modern songs and songs of long ago. God's amazing grace, how sweet the sound, the sweetest song I know. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, how sweet the sound, the sound. Sweeter song in this life could be found. I've heard song I know. I love to sing, He paid the price in just a little while. I love to sing beyond the clouds and give the world a smile. I love to sing, there is a fount that washes white as snow. Cause amazing grace, how sweet the sound, the sweetest song I know. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, how sweet is the sound. Sweeter song, in this life could be found. I've heard a fountain sound as clouds of Christ as bright, with white as snow. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, the sweetest song I know. It was the song my mother sang in sweet and humble voice. Like music from the world above, it made my soul rejoice. Its soothing words and melody like rippling water flow. Cause amazing grace, how sweet the sound, the sweetest song I know. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, how sweet, how sweet is the sound. Sweeter song, in this life could be found. I've heard a fountain sound as clear as bright as white as snow. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, the sweetest song I know.
Well, let's begin this morning with our text from our current series of lessons on Sunday morning, found in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll just read verse 15 this morning to begin. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Do it with meekness and do it in the fear of the Lord. It is so important for we as followers of Jesus Christ to be ready, be prepared to give a defense or an answer to those who ask us and to those who oppose us why we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to belong to a church and not enough just to be part of a Christian family. You need to know why you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and why you trust Him for your life and for your eternity. Most Christians today aren't prepared. In fact, most Christian leaders and pastors and teachers aren't even prepared. And I'm going to give you an example of that this morning. And my point this morning, please do not misunderstand me. I'm not going to say the things that I'm going to say to speak ill of this man, but simply to make it clear that the Word of God is relevant today. And to understand the prevalence of the unpreparedness of God's people. The fellow that I'm going to refer to is the pastor of one of the largest, if not the largest, church in America. He's the leader of this church. His name is Joel Osteen, and many of you know him. Now, again, the point is not that I'm focusing on this man, but on this man's position and what he represents. One of the largest, if not the largest, church in America. And back in 2005, he had an interview with Larry King. And on that show, and I've gone over the transcripts, I've seen the video, and so I'm not making this up, and so I'm not slamming the man, I'm simply using his own responses. But Larry King asked him a question. Last week we had the importance of presenting the gospel to a lost and dying world, that they are sinners, and that you can't present that the message of salvation and redemption without the fact that those without Christ are sinners and need a Savior. And so the question that King asked was this: you don't call them sinners, Osteen. I don't. King: is that a word you don't use? Osteen: I don't use it. I never thought about it, but I probably don't. But most people already know that they're doing wrong. And when I get them to church, I want to tell them that you can change. There can be a difference in your life. So I don't go down the road of condemning. That was his response. That mentality is pervasive among Christians and Christian leaders today. We don't use the word sinner. But if you read the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans, he spent those early chapters emphasizing the fact that man is lost in sin. He went to a great length to spell out in detail man's sinful condition. And that was the very foundation on which then he could proclaim justification by faith and faith alone by the grace of God. But he couldn't get to that glorious message without laying the foundation that man is lost in sin. And yet this man who says he represents and speaks to many people that also say they believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, they say we don't use that word. This morning I want us to consider another area of opposition to what we preach and believe and teach, and that is that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The world hates that very statement. And in the same interview with Larry King, Osteen made the following comments in response to King's question about Jesus being the only way to heaven. Do you really believe that? Was the context of these next statements. King asked the question, what if you're Jewish or Muslim and you don't accept Christ at all? Osteen responded, you know, I'm very careful about saying who would and wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know. Those were his words. Now, in fairness to Osteen, he later wrote a letter of apology to many of his people that had an understanding of Scripture and criticized him. And he says, forgive me that I didn't clarify that I believe that Jesus is the way to heaven. That apology was made. But his approach to evangelism hasn't changed. So I still question. But whether or not he actually has an understanding of what the gospel is, I think the point is from the interview, can we not all agree that he wasn't prepared to give an answer? He wasn't prepared to give a defense? He wasn't ready? Saints, we need to be ready. And we can criticize Mr. Osteen all we want. But that's not our point here. The question is, am I ready? Are you ready to give an answer to the criticism, the opposition to what you believe and preach? And in this specific area, do you really believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? And if you do, why? Now, many people believe, and this is why King even brought up the answer, because his approach was, and if I'm not mistaken, he's Jewish, is he not, King? At least Jewish background, I don't know how religious he is. But many people believe that if there is a God, there must be many ways to God. And that one religion is as good as another as long as you're sincere And as long as you try to do things that are helpful to humanity, one religion is as good as another and will get you to God. They believe that no one religion, no one faith, no one doctrine could be all right and all other religions wrong. You will find a lot of people have that thought. How do you know you're right? I've been asked that one in high school. Well, how do you know you're right, Doug? They think it's arrogance for you to declare that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They also think it's hateful and prejudicial. Well, you hate other religions, don't you? You hate other people that don't think like you. Our responsibility to that type of opposition, if we're going to be ready, we need to understand that we are not motivated and should not be, though I understand there are Christians that they do fall short. But we can stand for this truth and not be motivated by arrogance or hatred or prejudice, but rather our motivation is love and humility. But if we are truly motivated by love and humility, we will be faithful. We will be ready to defend the truth, the revelation of Scripture, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Because we're motivated by love and humility. We don't hate Muslims. You know, that's a popular thing among Christians today, to hate Muslims. We don't hate Muslims. We don't hate Jews. We don't hate Hindus or Mormons or Catholics or Protestant denominations or other groups that present a salvation through works or ritual. We don't hate individuals of other religious groups. Our motivation is the same as God's. We read last week, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In our sharing our faith in Christ with others, we need to be reminded, and so I realize I'm preaching to the choir and the teachers and everybody else here. Salvation in Jesus' name. Simple stuff. Don't think there's a lot of argument here. But we need to be reminded that the world needs to hear what we have. Not because we're so smart or because we're so proud of who we are and what we have, but because we are motivated by the same love of God that saved us. And we want others to hear this gospel. But we need to be reminded that there is an enemy out there, and our enemy is not Muslims. Our enemy is not Mormons, Jehovah Witness, or any other religion or group that you want to mention. Not Buddhist. The enemy is spiritual. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:12, I'll read it to you. If you want, you can jot down Ephesians 6:12. But Paul reminds us, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There is a spiritual battle going on for the souls and hearts of men. And sometimes as we go to work and we go to school and we go through the daily routine and we're so surrounded by our natural world and circumstances and feelings and situations, we forget there's a very real spiritual battle going on. That's why we must be ready. That's why we daily put on the armor of God. That's why we daily must pray. Because we don't know what the enemy has out there. We don't know who he's trying to keep from the gospel. But we need to be ready. We need to be prayed up. We need to be with an understanding of what truth is all about. Not just some doctrine statements on a card that we say, oh yeah, well, check that. But a revelation of the heart. I know who Jesus is by a revelation of the Holy Spirit. There's a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men. Let's do turn to 2 Corinthians. I want you to read this with me. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 6. Remember the subject here. We're preparing ourselves to defend the doctrine Jesus is the only way to heaven. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves. It's not about us, saints. It's not about Abundant Grace Fellowship. It's not about you. It's not about Brother Doug. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Our sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ must be motivated by love for all mankind, even those you don't like. Our attitude must always be one of humility. We didn't deserve God's grace any more than the worst person that you can think of. It's with humility that we tell them about the grace and love of Jesus Christ. Our goal is not to force our religion on anyone. All of these accusations are made against us. But we need to be ready to give the proper response. We're not here to force our religion on anyone. We're simply here to proclaim the only message that the Creator of heaven and earth has revealed to be His will for His creature, for the human race. We read last week in Timothy that we must be servants that are gentle, able to teach, patient, with humility. We are to proclaim truth to those that are caught in the snare of Satan, that perchance they might let that light come in and deliver them from darkness. So our telling people that faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and if they put their trust in anything else or anyone else, they are condemned to eternal punishment. That's no more motivated by arrogance and hatred than to point someone in a burning building to a safe exit. Is that arrogant to do that? No, we believe that this is the message they need to hear. And because if we love them with the love of God, with which we have been loved, we will tell them about Jesus. God desires all men to be saved, we read last week in Timothy. One God, one mediator, just one, and that's Christ Jesus. Of all the religions that are out there, and there are a lot of them, of all the philosophies that are out there, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only one that presents the truth of universal sin and the full and complete remedy to that disease. There is no other gospel that presents the reality that man is hopelessly lost in the depravity of sin, separated from God. And that is true of everyone born into the human race. No other philosophy or gospel presents that in its fullness. And then no other religion points to the cross as the only answer, the ransom paid in full for sin. So think about it. When the accusation is, you hate people, don't you, that don't believe like you? You're arrogant. You think that you and your religion has it all, and everybody else missed it. How arrogant that is of you. Think about it this way, and for those who will be open, share this with them. If God is God, and this is His universe, and if the Bible is God's word, and the evidence we believe is clear, and you, if they're open to that, you can share some of that with them. If the Word of God is the revelation of the God who created everything, and if God, in His universe, has declared all of humanity under the condemnation of sin, which is the revelation of Scripture, and if He says there's only one way to be delivered from that hopeless condition of sin, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ, or otherwise the individual remains in condemnation, if all of that is true, don't you think if we love others, we're going to tell them that? We're going to give them that message? We're not motivated by arrogance, and we're not going to let others intimidate us. The world is trying to intimidate us to let go of that thought because it's just prejudicial, and it's not democratic, and it's just not good. But I'm ready to give a defense. Oh, no, you're misunderstanding. God loved the world and gave His Son. And that same love of God has been put in my heart for the lost. And I'm going to tell them they need Jesus. Let's remind ourselves of just a few scriptures in the Bible that make it plain that God does not accept good intentions as a way to get into heaven. He doesn't accept other faiths or other religions as pathways to himself. The Bible is clear, and for any Christian not to make a clear statement of that, we have to question whether that individual or those individuals truly have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. John 17. Familiar passages. I hope that we all know them. But let's remind ourselves of the clarity of Scripture. And because of the clarity of Scripture, we can have the same clarity in our sharing the gospel. With love and with humility. But with clarity. Without compromise. John 17, verses 1 to 3. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over how much of humanity? All flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Well, what is eternal life? Verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you. Aha! As long as you're trying to know God, you're okay. No, that's only part of the equation of eternal life. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. John 14 and verse 6. There is no other way for a human being to possess eternal life apart from knowing God through faith in Jesus Christ. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you see how Osteen's response, well, I just don't know. I can't be sure that there might not be some other ways. I don't know who's going to heaven. I do. And it's not because I'm so smart, and it's not because I'm so arrogant. It's because I believe what Jesus Christ said, and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through him. So I know who's going to be in heaven. All those who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I know who's not going to be there. All those who don't accept Jesus as their Savior. Acts 4, verses 10 through 12. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. A healing was done in Jesus' name. And this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, you religious leaders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no gray area here in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no reason why we shouldn't be prepared to give this answer. In any case, in any situation, in any circumstance, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Faith in his sacrifice, that it paid the debt of your sin. One other one in Acts 16, verses 30 and 31. The Philippian jailer and the experience after God miraculously delivered Paul from that prison. The jailer came to him in verse 30 of Acts 16. And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, Paul must have missed it here. Because he should have said, well, you need to join my church. You need to try to do good works and do more than bad works. You need to do this or you need to do that. But Paul, who was given the message for this church age, simply said this, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. It's the same for everyone. It's provided for everyone in your house. It's provided for every man, woman, and child. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we proclaim that faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, we are not being prejudicial. We're not being hateful. were simply proclaiming what the Creator said was His revealed will to redeem His creature, to reconcile them back to Himself. It's because God loves the human race that He's revealed this plan of salvation and that it's the only one that He accepts. So if we are grateful for that love and grace, I hope that we are, then with love and humility, we must proclaim this to others, even as opposition to this message grows. This is what Peter was telling us. People are going to oppose the very thing that they desperately need. And so if it's about us, and if we are motivated by arrogance and pride, if someone opposes or resists or rejects, then we're going to be all offended. Well, how dare you reject my religion? And sadly, there are Christians that respond that way. But saints, we need in love and patience and long-suffering continue to plant the seed of truth. In our society, opposition is going to get worse to this simple message. You're going to begin to be isolated from society. Bible-believing Christians, you're a plague on society. It's going to get there. And the seeds are already growing. You're a plague on society. You're even contrary to the very thought of democracy. Saints, are you going to be ready to give the answer? Acts chapter 5. The message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ has always been opposed from the very beginning, from the first time that it was proclaimed. I don't know how bad things will be allowed to get in this country before Jesus comes. I honestly don't know. But don't be surprised if it starts to come to this, as it was in the early church. Acts 5:40. And they agreed with him. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, just three little words there, and beaten them. Oh, yeah, that's just a little side note. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching or preaching Jesus as the Christ. They were ready to give a defense. Other occasions, Peter said, well, you be the judge. Should we obey God rather than men? We need to be ready to say, I believe God, and I want to share His message because He so loves the world. We've been entrusted, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we've been entrusted with that same message of reconciliation that got the apostles beaten because they wouldn't stop. Some of them ultimately gave their life for saying Jesus is the only way to heaven. And they were ready to lay down their life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This message of salvation, it's so basic, so simple. And if you've been in church at all, you've heard it. But saints, we need to remember the urgency of our message, the importance of our message. This is what Paul says. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself. How did He do that? There's only one way that He's done that. Through Jesus Christ. And has given us, those that have accepted and believe the message of redemption and eternal life through Jesus Christ, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Please understand the weight of those words. This is your charge as a believer. This is your responsibility. This is your accountability. You have been given, it has been committed to you, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now then, we as ambassadors for Christ, as His representatives, as though God himself were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, the amazing grace of God. The amazing grace of God. Saints, don't let the world intimidate you into silence. They're going to try. The Apostle Paul told the Romans in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I read the transcript and saw the video, and it's just a representation of Christendom. When I read that, I thought, are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Lord, help us. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. It's the only power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You can only be just before God. You can only be made right before God by the righteousness that is imputed to you, given to you by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that can remove the guilt and stain of sin. So, saints, we have the message the world needs to hear. The message didn't originate with us. We can't be arrogant. We can't brag. And even when our attitude is right, you're still going to be accused of it. If I had a dollar for every time someone called me arrogant, I'd be a rich man. And it's one thing that I honestly, Lord, keep me from that sin. Because I know my flesh. I know it's there. I know I can easily give into arrogance. But saints, when I proclaim these truths, Lord, help me to understand it's the message the world needs to hear, and that Christ died because he loved them. And even though they oppose us, Christ died for his enemies. I was Christ's enemy before he saved me, but he died for me. The message did not originate with us, but we have been graciously given a revelation of it. And now it's been committed to us to share with others. So it's not arrogant or hateful to tell others that Jesus is the only way, and if they trust anything else, they remain in their condemnation. It's arrogance, it's hatred if you don't tell people Jesus is the only way. That's the way you have to understand it. Arrogance will keep you from telling others about Jesus. Hatred will cause you not to do that, or to cause you to not tell others. When it's all said and done, we understand we can't force our faith on others, and that's not our intention. We're not trying to force our religion or our faith on anyone. We understand that every human being is accountable for their decision concerning Jesus Christ. In our witnessing, we need to remember that as well. But our responsibilities as followers of Christ is to give others the opportunity to hear and to respond. That's all you can do. And that's all you're accountable for, by the way. And that's one thing. There are many things that are discouraging as a pastor. And sometimes it when people don't respond to the Word of God as I feel that they should, as I feel the Word of God teaches that they should, it can be discouraging. But the Holy Spirit reminds me, all you're accountable for is your attitude and your faithfulness to give people the opportunity. And the same is true with you, to give people the opportunity to hear the message that will give them eternal life. Colossians 1, verses 13 and 15. I'm going to close with an illustration here. But I want to read this verse to give us the context, to understand that those that have not put their faith in Jesus Christ, that they are in a hopeless condition. They are in a cruel kingdom. And we were once there, but we've been translated. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. No other means of salvation. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I gave this illustration back in 2010, and to me it's such a vivid illustration of why we need to be faithful to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ without compromise, even when it's being opposed by those who need it the most, those who need it, period. Back in 2010, some of you will remember that there were 33 miners from Chile that were trapped for 69 days under 2,000 feet of rock and earth. And everybody remember the story, more or less? Those men were truly trapped in a kingdom of darkness. Now, they had some artificial light that helped them walk around a little bit down there. They were able to occupy themselves with some activities and some exercise. And they had some food to survive for a time. But nevertheless, because they were stuck in a very limited area in a kingdom of darkness, everything they did, everything they said was restricted and limited by that kingdom of darkness. They could do some things that they could choose to do or not do, but they were limited what they could and could not do. They were trapped in a kingdom of darkness. And apart from hope, now they had life in that kingdom. They were living, they were breathing. But because they were trapped in that kingdom, their destiny was one of certain death. They were going to die. Now, how many of you, when you heard of those trapped miners, tried to put yourself in that literal physical entrapment? Some of us are a little claustrophobic. I'm not sure how I would have handled that. But saints, spiritually, our condition was far worse than them, because it dealt with eternal things. Eternal death, eternal separation. Man born in sin has life, lives this in this world and makes choices, but every choice they make is limited by the kingdom of darkness in which they live. And their certain destiny is eternal death and separation from God. Now, when those miners, one day they began to hear some scratching in the ceiling, and the rescuers above were drilling a real narrow, I don't know how narrow the tube was, but just a real little hole just to be able to start to communicate with them. And so through that little narrow hole, they sent down some water, they sent down some food, and they sent down a crude telephone. And on that telephone, one of the trapped miners got a message and said, "We've got a plan to rescue. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to drill one shaft that's just big enough to take up one man at a time. And this is what we're doing, and I want you to know." Now, what do you think that one man did after he was on that crude telephone? You think he kept that news to himself? He turned to the rest of the fellows and said, "Hey, there's a plan to save us. There's a plan. This is it. This is what they're telling me. This is what I'm getting from above. This is it." And they began to have some hope. When those miners came up through that shaft, and by the way, each one of them had to get into it by themselves. Each of them had to choose to step in that shaft and then to be lifted up. And when they came out of that kingdom of darkness, I didn't hear one miner say, "You know, when I was told that there was one way out of here, I turned to the guy next to me and I said, no, I think there's many ways out of here. No, I think I'm going to try to dig myself out. I think that's a better plan." We didn't hear one say that he turned to the guy who first got the message and told others and said, "Well, that's just arrogant. Well, that's just hateful, because someone else might have a plan and you're saying that's the only plan out of here?" No, those men understood. We're in a desperate situation, and there's one way out of here, and I'm glad for that one way. And when they got out of there, one of the relatives of the miners was quoted as saying it was like they were born again. And I said, "You don't know the half of it. I'm glad I have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of love, a light and life. I'm happy to tell others about the one despised shaft of salvation, the cross of rejection and hatred and shame. That's the way of redemption.
Hallelujah!
Because God has declared it so. Not because I want it that way, not because I invented that way, but because God says, it's what I have planned for you. So saints, I'll tell you, though I will continue to be accused of it, I don't hate Muslims. I don't hate Jews. I don't hate Catholics, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Buddhists. I will say I hate their teachings. I hate the teaching of Islam. I hate the teaching of Mormonism, of the Church of Rome. You know why? Because they reject Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. But I don't hate those individuals that are part of those organizations. Christ died for them. They need the message that I have, that I've been given, that I've been committed to proclaim. Jesus is the only way to heaven. This morning we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Let's close with 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to be reminded of this sacrifice. And as we take it, may we understand that people are going to continue to oppose it. Jesus, you really believe he's the only way to heaven? Why, yes, I do. And I'm prepared to give you an answer if you're prepared to hear it. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered you, Paul writes, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, the meaning of the Lord's death, the purpose of his death, till he comes. So by celebrating and remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ this morning, we are proclaiming that his death and resurrection are the only means of salvation that God has provided for the human race. By partaking of this memorial, we are declaring that we have received this gift of God, this gift of eternal life, and that we understand that it is our privilege and our responsibility to share this good news of salvation with others. Faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. The brethren will come and prepare the elements.